It is good to see everyone this morning as we continue our Christmas series. And the title of today's message is going to be The Great I Am in the Manger. The Great I Am in the Manger, the focus verse, though we're going to start out in Luke 1. But the verse we'll focus on today will be John chapter 8, verse 56 through 59. But we're going to begin today in Luke chapter 1 and go back over what we studied last week kind of quickly here. So we'll go to Luke chapter 1 and look at verse 31 when the angel appears unto Mary. And the angel says unto Mary, "Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And in verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that holy child which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin and weekly sin. I confess these to you out loud in my prayer closet, and Father, they're real. But you said if you confess your sins that you are faithful and just to forgive me of those sins and to cleanse me by your blood. So I have asked to be cleansed by your blood, forgiven. And I pray for an anointing of your spirit and a filling of your spirit to just take over, Lord. We don't need me. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And so I pray, Spirit, that you'll speak to each heart and mind. Because you know us better than we know ourselves. What do I need to hear from you today, Lord Jesus? What in my life do you want to speak to me about today? Father, I want to thank you that it's so personal and so wonderful. And that you love everyone in this room and everyone listening on this website. Father, you love them. You came to earth to save them. And Father, you are not only our Heavenly Father, our Savior and Redeemer, but you desire to call us your friends. You are our best friend. Holy Spirit, please just take over. In your name we pray. Amen. Last week, we looked at these verses in Luke chapter 1. And the title of last week's message was, "Christmas is a Father and a Son story." It's a story about a father and a son. And Lehman, as we studied, the angel said that he's going to be the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Living God. And so we found out that word highest means location. So the Father of Jesus Christ, the babe born in Bethlehem, resides in heaven. He's the Heavenly Father. Since the creation of Adam and Eve, no human being has ever been born without an earthly father till Jesus. Now, after God created Adam and Eve, you know, Adam and Eve had Seth, and they had Cain and Abel, and all the way down, Abraham had Isaac, Noah had Ham and Jeph, Japheth and Shem, and, you know, David had Solomon. I mean, we know the lineage. And it's recorded in the Word of God. But for Jesus, there was no earthly father. And that's just amazing. And it's miraculous. And then she said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And he said, "It's going to be a work of God. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you." So we studied the shadow when the presence of God moved through the wilderness. And we studied the shadow when it came upon Jesus, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it was a bright cloud, and the presence of God was within it, and light emanated from it. And I believe that's what happened to Mary at some point in her life. The Holy Spirit came upon her. The form of the brightness of that shadow. And we studied that, what that phrase came upon, and it means when an energy or an action comes upon you and then enters into you. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? Wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Everybody that's ever gotten saved, they felt the Holy Spirit come upon them. Amen. In conviction, you know, in burden and guilt, in revelation of the truth. Hey, I'm a sinner, and if I die today, I'm going to go to hell. And all that comes crashing down on you. Jesus died for my sins, if I was the only one, and all that comes crashing down. And then when you surrender, you feel the Spirit enter into you. And that's the same phrase that is used here. So we want to go deeper into the Christmas story. We just want revelation about, you know, what child is this? Who is this babe that is born in Bethlehem with no earthly father as a result of the miraculous movement and miracle of the Holy Spirit in conception upon Mary, the mother? And as we closed out last week, we went to John 8, so go there. And I read this scripture. And we're going to look at part of it today as we examine, you know, what child is this? Who is this in the manger? And in John chapter 8, Jesus is debating the Jewish Pharisees and scribes who are depending on their lineage, saying they have no father but Abraham, and no one's greater than Abraham. And in John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." We're going to study that in the coming weeks. But what Jesus is saying is, prophetically, Abraham had vision, and he saw my life here on earth. He was told that I would have a life here on earth. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the fulfillment of what Abraham saw. And then the Jews said unto him, "You are not even 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to stone. Now, why did they do that? Let's go to the Lord. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. We thank you, Father, for this time of the year when we can ponder the impossible and the miraculous. And know that with God, nothing shall be impossible. For a peasant girl in Nazareth, nothing shall be impossible for a babe in a manger. And nothing shall be impossible for us. In your name we pray. Amen. And in verse 58, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Before Abraham was, I am. So what is he saying here in John chapter 8? What is the big deal about the phrase, I am? All right, go with me and let's see the first time it was used. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Moses is on the backside of the desert, watching over the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro. And he sees something. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and he was on the backside of the desert. And the angel of the Lord," in verse 2, "appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but it was not consumed. And Moses turned to see, and God called him out of the midst of the bush." God called him. "And said unto him, Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And Cameron, that's how God, I hear God all the time. "Leo, you know, you need to be doing this, or you don't need to be doing that, or it's time to pray, or whatever." God deals with us one-on-one. "And the Lord said, draw not nigh, but put off your shoes, because where you stand is holy ground, because the presence of God is here. I'm here. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, the Israelites, who are slaves in Egypt. And I have heard their cry, and I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And out of the hand, and bring them unto a land that is a good land, and a large land, and it's flowing with milk and honey. It's the land of the Canaanites. And he says in verse 10, Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to lead my people out. You're going to go to Pharaoh and say, set my people free. Now, Moses is a shepherd, a fugitive, really, from Egypt, hiding out on the backside of the desert, and he'd been there 40 years. And Moses says unto God in verse 13, I'll go, but when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they're going to say to me, what is his name and what shall I say unto them? Now when I get to them and I say, God sent me, they're going to say, what God, who? We've been slaves. God hadn't answered our prayers. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now, what in the world does I am mean? All right, in the Hebrew, that phrase I am is Haya, H-A-Y-A-H. H-A-Y-A-H. I believe in English we call that a diphthong. It can be spelt the same way backwards and forward. H-A-Y-A-H. It's the word you get Yahweh out of. And it's the word you get Jehovah out of. But H-A-Y-A-H simply means to be. And that's the great question, isn't it? To be or not to be? Quoting that prophet Shakespeare. But that's the word. H-A-Y-A-H. It means to be. And it simply means to exist. But when God applies it to himself, it takes a little bit deeper meaning. It speaks to the eternal timelessness of God. And so when he says the great I am, he's saying, I am God, the ever-existent one. Before creation, I am. Before time, I am. I created time. I created the universe. I created all existence. And before time, I am. God exists outside of time, space, and matter. And he always has. He created time. Well, Brother Leo, when did he create time? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And God saw the light, that it was good. And then, and after the light, the end of that first day, it was the end of the first day. The day he called light, and the nighttime, the darkness he called night. And that was the end of the first day. So we had a first day. So the creator of time and space and all the matter that exists in the world existed always from everlasting to everlasting. Let me show you that. Go with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I am the ever-existent one. So anytime you see Jesus say, I am, you can add that on. I am the one that has always existed. So as we try to grasp the enormity of Christmas, we see in Psalm 90, verse 1, Moses says this, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, when these Pharisees are talking to Jesus, and they say, are you greater than Abraham? He's saying, I'm the God that created Abraham. So they pick up stones to stone him. Why? Because they're going to reject. You know, they don't like what he's teaching. They don't like how he's teaching it. They don't like that he hangs out with sinners and wine bibbers and drunks, and he's healing all these dirty people and all these things. And he's upsetting the system they've got going in the temple. But I am from everlasting to everlasting. When Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, he's saying, I am the ever-existent God. Go into Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is introducing himself. In verse 5, you see that the letter to the seven churches is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first resurrected, begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Nothing exists without Jesus. He is the beginning. He is the end. So what I want you to understand, at Bethlehem, when we observe the nativity scene or the manger scene, you have seen the one who has created all babies that has ever come into the earth become a baby himself. You've seen the one who created time and lived and existed outside the dimension of time having a birthday. Giving himself time. You see this humility and this penetration as the creator of the universe steps into creation when he is conceived in the womb of Mary. And so he says, I am the ever-existent God. Before Abraham, before creation, I was and I am. So go with me to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And we're going to stop right there. In the beginning was the Word. In verse 14a, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in verse 17, it says, truth came by Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he declared him to us when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, so who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And then what does it say? The Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. Verse 2, and all things were created by Him, the Word, and there was not anything made that was made without His created force, energy, and power. And there He is in a manger. The great I Am, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not awesome. And look at what it says in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld Him. We saw His life. We saw God Himself on earth in the form of a human, and His name was Jesus. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John says again, that which was from the beginning we have heard. That person who was from the beginning, we heard him talk. We saw him with our eyes. We looked upon him. We saw his miracles. Our hands handled him. We hugged him. We walked with him. He held us up. He saved us when we were in the ship, out in the boat, out in the middle of the lake. He is the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we saw it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and then was manifested unto us. He was with the Father before time began. Jesus had this glorious existence of equality within the Godhead before creation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed as Father, the Word, and the Spirit before creation, before all things. I want to give you one more verse and then I'll make the point. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. The scripture says, "For by him, Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist and are held together, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of all time, and he's also the firstborn of the resurrection from the dead, that is the bodily resurrection, that in all things, in creation, physical, spiritual, resurrection, heaven, everything, he alone is the preeminence." Amazing. Before all, before everything, I am. The great I am, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That eternal life, the eternal life that was with the Father before creation. So what happened at Bethlehem? Jesus came into the world at Bethlehem, but he did not come into existence. All right, just grab that. Jesus came into the world at Bethlehem, but he did not come into existence then. He'd already existed. He has always existed. He is the one who was, who is, and who is to come. He is from everlasting unto everlasting. So when they said, "You're not even 50 years old yet. How in the world did you know Abraham? And how did Abraham know you?" He said, "I am the great I am." And oh man, they picked up stones. They rent their clothes. They went berserk. Because he sure didn't look like the Messiah they were waiting for. He didn't have on any robes. He didn't have on any collar. He wasn't ordained. He hadn't been through rabbinical school. He didn't have the seminary degree. This guy's just walking around in the fields feeding 5,000 with a couple loaves of bread and healing the blind and stuff. But he didn't go to right school. So here we go. But go back with me. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 3, and let me tell you something else about the great I am. And what the theologians call Yahweh. And in Exodus chapter 3, Moses says, "Who am I to tell them who sent me?" In verse 14, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am. Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Verse 15, "And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you, and this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, what is God saying here? God's saying, Yahweh is my name. Now, what does that mean, Brother Leo? The theologians grab this verse and they say, Yahweh, what God is saying there is, he's saying, Yahweh is my personal name. This is the name by which the children of Israel are going to know me. So what does that reveal, Cameron? If that's the name he wants them to know him by, this is what it means. It means I am the God who preexisted time. I am the God that's created all things. I am the God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. And I am the God that's going to get you out of Egypt. So he wanted them to know him in all of his power, in all of his glory, in all of his awesomeness. And anytime they spoke his name, he wanted them to think, our God is the God of all powers. There is nothing above our God. Our God is strong. Our God is eternal. Our God is able to part the Red Sea. Our God is able to destroy the Egyptian army. Our God is able to beat the Hittites, the Perizzites, all these people. And he will bring us victory and bring us into the promised land. So when God reveals his personal name to you, he wants it to mean something to you. So at that moment, God got personal with the nation of Israel. He's entering into a covenant with them. And every Israelite's going to have to deal with Yahweh. One way or another. Through temple sacrifice, through keeping the law, through doing all these things. So we are given the personal name of God, the great I Am, way back in the book of Exodus. And now, this itinerant preacher and prophet in Galilee is saying that he's the great I Am. But when he's born, he's given a personal name also. So go with me to Matthew chapter 1 and let's see what that means. When God appeared unto Moses in the burning bush, he got personal with Moses. He had a relationship with Moses by which he spoke with him face to face. As a friend. I tell you what, I need to show you that. Go to Exodus 33. Go to Exodus 33. Just so you get this point. In Exodus chapter 33, they're getting ready to march. They have been delivered out of Egypt. They're going into the promised land in verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle, the big tent there in the middle of the camp, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw it, and the people rose up and worshipped and fell down. And in verse 11 it said, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. He shook hands with Moses, said, Moses, here I am, I'm Yahweh, the great I Am, and I've come to you to speak face to face. And you and I have, you know what? You know what we've got? We've got a personal relationship. And we're going to talk face to face. And I'm the great I Am. And I'm going to take care of you, Moses. And I'm going to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And I'm going to take care of them in the promised land. And so we get the personal name of God. And so now in Matthew chapter 1, we get another personal name of the Word. The Word as he's becoming flesh to dwell among us. Joseph has found out that his betrothed is with child, and he knows that he has had no relationship with her. And so he's thinking about putting her away, not being with her, sending her out of town. And the angel comes to Joseph in a dream. And in verse 20 it says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is a miracle of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So now what's God want us to know about himself? The great I Am is still the great I Am. He's unchangeable. He's all powerful. But now he's come to earth. And as I told you earlier, as Paul said to Timothy, he has come to earth to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so what does that name Jesus mean? It means Savior. And so he says this. He says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then he gives him another name. And in verse 23, he's quoting the prophet. He says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, God is with us here on earth. So now we're finding out God is here on earth. The great I Am has been born in Bethlehem, or is going to be born in Bethlehem, and he's come down here on a mission, and he's going to save his children. He's going to save all of us from our sins. Yes, thank you. And if you'd have been the only person on the face of the earth, Jesus still would have been born on Bethlehem. He still would have died on Calvary, and he still would have rose again 3 days later. So you can say, Jesus Christ came to earth to save me from my sins. You want to say that? Jesus Christ came to earth. Say that. Jesus Christ came to earth to save me from my sins. To save me from my sins. Isn't that awesome? I say that, man. I'll get up tomorrow morning, Ricky. I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to save me from my sin. Praise the Lord. So here's the name now. Now it's getting personal again. Now we've got a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And if you go with me to Acts chapter 2, let me show you how important this name is. So the Lord has lived 33 and a half years probably. Lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He died on a cross carrying my sins upon his body. He faced my judgment. He faced the indignation of God because of me, not because of him. There was darkness over the earth for 3 hours. He died my death. He faced my judgment, but 3 days later he rose again, and 40 days after that he ascended into heaven and sent down the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came down to begin the church age of which we're living in now, Peter preaches the first sermon. And let's see if Peter mentions this name that the angel tells Joseph about. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him you delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken by wicked hands. You crucified him. But in verse 24, God raised him from the dead. Death can't hold him in the grave. It was not possible. In verse 36, he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, here's that name again, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They were picked to the heart, and they said, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts chapter 4, Peter preaching again after they've healed the lame man. In verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him this crippled man is standing here whole. Jesus was the stone which y'all set at naught, which y'all rejected. He is the head of the corner. There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. So what happened at Bethlehem? God got personal again. Jesus Christ came into the world to save you. And to save you. And to save you. Christmas is personal. I don't have to wonder about God anymore. What did John say? He declared unto us God. He revealed unto us God. And I don't want to get ahead and get into next week. But what I want you to know is, I know my God lived on this earth for 33 years. I know He walked. I know He talked. I know He grew up as a child. I know He skinned His knees. I know He climbed trees. I know as He became a man, He was tempted every way as I am, yet without sin. I know that He showed love and compassion on people that nobody else cared about. I know He healed folks. There was not a disease He couldn't heal. I know He raised folks from the dead while He was here on earth. And I know He Himself was raised from the dead with a glorified body. And I know that I can relate to my Jesus. When I cry out unto Him, I know He feels everything that I feel because He's felt it. So God Himself became personal at Christmas. So we've got the great I Am Yahweh. We've got Jesus the Savior. And we've got Emmanuel, God with us. We've got three names and one person of the Godhead. That person is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. And He is our best friend. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He existed before time, space, and matter. He came 2,000 years ago, and He's coming back. This is Jesus. This is Christmas. This is what we celebrate. And so last week, we heard Jesus make a statement, and that statement was, "Before Abraham was, I am." And now we know what He was saying. But before I let you go today, I want you to see another statement Jesus made to His own disciples. And they really didn't understand it. But we're going to learn it next week. If you go to John 14. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus is telling the disciples that He's going away. He's going to heaven. And in verse 3, He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way I go, you know." And Thomas said unto Him, "Lord, we know not where you're going. And how can we know the way?" Well, He's going to heaven, and here's the way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And have thenceforth you know Him, and you have seen God the Father." And Philip says unto Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us." And Jesus says, "Have I been so long a time with you, Philip, that you've not known me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, what does that mean? How is the Son the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank You that in our mind's eye, we can go back and we can see You, Lord Jesus, 2,000 years ago. in our mind's eye, we can see the shepherds and the wise men and the angels in heaven. And we can, Father, just meditate in awe upon that holy night. Mary and Joseph and you in a state. But Father, we can see you now. And we can experience you now by your Holy Spirit. You are not just Jesus, Lord. You are our Jesus. You are not just the Savior, Lord. You are our Savior. You are our friend, our Creator, and our Redeemer. And Father, this is not just Christmas. This is our Christmas. The great I am in a manger. And Father, we praise your holy name. In the quietness of this moment, I'm going to ask Judy to come and play for a few moments. And as she's playing today, I want you to ask yourself, have I met Jesus? The great I Am came down to Moses and said, I am Yahweh, I am here. Jesus came into the world and he said, I am the Savior, I am here. And right now, in the moment of an invitation, the Lord himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, says, I am Jesus, I am your Savior, I am here. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when we allow the Lord to, he comes into our heart. We become born again. So in the quietness of this moment, if you're listening on the website, if you're here in this room, we're going to ask you to take a few moments and allow Jesus to introduce himself to you, or if you know him well, converse with him, or if this week you hadn't taken the time, take a few moments and meet with Jesus face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And let the good Lord speak to your heart this day for a few moments. If you want to come pray with me, you come. For yourself. So often we're praying for others, and that's neat. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift to you. Speak with Jesus about your life face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Personal name of God. Jesus, the Lord said unto Moses, 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 let the Lord call your name. And then listen to what he said.